You're listening to GGR Pirate Radio. Don't be a juice bag.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gamer Den, brought to you by the Great Geek Refuge. My name is Jess.
And I am the opaque Senator Russ. At the Gamer Den, we chat about all things gaming, whether it's current, retro, our favorites, your favorites, and everything in between. And today, we are going to be talking about lots of fun topics, including, well, our penultimate topic today is going to be about, we actually have a release list of the games that will be coming out here in 2023, which, I don't know about you, Jess, that sounds like it's really far away, and it's not, and I hate it. So,
when you sent me that list, I was like, why are we looking so far in the future? What do you mean 2023? 2022 just started. No, we are halfway through the year. What?
Sanity. Insanity. So yeah, that's going to be the big topic today. We both took a look at the list, and there were some interesting games that we both saw on there. But we'll definitely give you the list here through the podcast. We also had a couple other little silly things that were going on that we wanted to talk about today, including one of the funniest things I saw. Obviously, we've been talking a bit about Sonic Frontiers lately. Kotaku had an article about the director. How he was trying to describe what was happening in open world gameplay and basically just described an open world game like we've all played a million of them. Exactly. So I'm like, well, that bodes well. I also want to talk a little bit after you get into another topic about not gaming, playing game related, but a gaming series that had a great adaptation on Netflix that's getting a sequel is Castlevania. So I definitely want to get a bit into that because we had a little teaser for what's going to be happening for that as well. And then you had a couple topics too. And I did want to start with your Lollipop Guild.
The Lollipop Guild.
I used to be able to do that voice very, very well. And then I got over the age of 8 and it became a lot more difficult.
I almost said, okay, everyone, welcome to our horror podcast. So Lollipop Chainsaw, which is a game that I was surprised you're not familiar with.
Which part of that title screams the opaque senator to you? The lollipops or the chainsaws?
You know what? It's true. Even just looking at like the promo images, it is definitely more my wheelhouse here. She's like in this tiny cheerleader outfit with the chainsaw with her little blonde pigtails. So yeah, totally up my alley.
Don't forget the lollipop. So.
For those of you who don't know, Lollipop Chainsaw is basically a hack and slash game that was originally released in 2012. It's about a cheerleader who becomes a zombie hunter. And she has cute little like quips throughout the game. She has like a little lollipop in her mouth, and it is just it is so much fun. It is definitely one of the most underrated games. And they are coming out with another game. There was a tweet from Yasuda. Apparently that was the director from the previous game. He's leaving the company that he's been with and starting a new company. And it looks like Lollipop Chainsaw is going to be one of the first titles for the new company. So very excited.
What's the company again?
The previous company is Kadokawa, and the new company is Dragami.
I like the new name.
Yes. There's no release date. We don't know if it's going to be like a remaster, a remake, a sequel, but the game is coming back in some form. Even a remake would be really cool for me. I feel like this video game has a lot of like cosplay following. There are obvious reasons here. We can all
wonder why. I have no idea.
Right. But I'm obsessed with it. I love the idea. I think that when a lot of the times when you think of female protagonists in games, it is someone who's very like rugged and tough and like or like very muscular. And like, I love that. I love seeing women protagonists like that, but this girl is just like a dumb blonde with a little skimpy cheerleader outfit on. I love it. I want to see more dumb women. And you know what? You know, I do understand also like the opposite side of the spectrum where we're like, we don't want women to look like that in video games. Everyone, I just want a nice balance. Sometimes a dumb blonde. Sometimes I want to be like Lara Croft, you know?
So here's my counter to this that's speaking up for you in this. How many times have we seen the dumb dude hero protagonist, which is pretty much most of them? Like,
true.
This was just thrust upon me because it was my destiny, and I don't really want to have any part of this whatsoever. Like, okay. But in every female protagonist feels like it was my destiny from the beginning, and I've been training my whole life, and I'm like,
I get kind of where they're coming from. They're like, we don't want to have our female protagonist to be like this weak, dainty girl, and it's like, well, sometimes I am a weak, dainty girl, and that's okay too. It is okay to be both. We should be able to choose.
Yeah, how many good male leads are much more in touch with their feminine sides too, like where you can actually share your feelings and you can, like, you know, not be built muscular. You can actually just be like a regular dude who does cool things, like, or uses your brain or what. I mean, hell, there's enough room out in the sphere of culture to have all these different kinds of protagonists, and I for one am all for seeing more of them in games. So
I want them all.
Yes, why not? And let the actual quality of them be judged on the gameplay, the storyline, how they're used, and all that. Don't make it judged on the other crap. Like, let's make a good game first, put a great story in there second, and then everything else should usually take care of itself.
Opinion. So I am very excited to see what is going to come of that. Like I said, I would even be happy with just like a remake, or remastered version of the original. So
when was the original? When you don't know the exact year. When was the original out?
2012. Yeah, June 15th.
Gotcha. Wow.
Oh my goodness, that's today.
Yeah, well, at the time of recording this, yes, at least.
Yeah, so it's literally 10 years ago today that it was released. Wow.
Insanity. Oh, I didn't realize, I'm reading the article now, I didn't realize this was the same studio that did No More Heroes. I do really enjoy those games. That's a great series of games. But
there you go. Listen, you're going to be a fan of Lollipop Chainsaw. I know it.
Does it have a killer soundtrack?
I mean, it's good.
Okay. That's all I need. It doesn't have to be like, not every banger has to be an earworm, you know what I mean? But
right.
Something I can enjoy, you know?
There you go.
But let's see what else. And then, yeah, I talked a little bit about the Sonic Frontier gameplay stuff, and we were going all into that. I just thought that little quote.
Well, so there was also the other thing that came out in regards to Sonic Frontiers, which is them saying that Sonic will not be kissing another human, another human, which, like, I thought it was so funny. And so in 2006, Sonic the Hedgehog, he kisses Princess Elise.
Correct. And bestiality became a thing everywhere after that, so.
And it's in the article, it says she kissed the anthropomorphic hedgehog. And this, the director said, I don't think we'll be doing that again.
There were some, and this is, so one thing I noticed too, and again, we'll get into the releases here in a little bit, but one thing I noticed in that release, and again, it's so obvious with what's been happening, lots and lots and lots of remakes and reboots and things. And part of me is like, dear Lord, I'm so tired of remakes. But the other part of me is like, especially with a lot of the 3D games, like, we have so much opportunity to create stuff so much better than even just 5 or 10 years later. Like, I think it's great. You probably had there are probably a bunch of scenes, I imagine, in the original Lollipop Chainsaw Massacre, where you had a lot of like the dead-eyed stares and all that kind of stuff, and like in the cutscenes and whatnot, you had like a lot of Uncanny Valley-ness going on. Because a lot of those games had that. Or, like, if it's an older, in the case of older games, you know, things just look terrible because we were figuring out that polygons could kind of be people and polygons could kind of be cars. And, like, so I get, like, you know, there is definitely a market out there to redo and remake and revamp games and bring them into the modern era, to bring them to a whole new fan base and to be able to share in them. Because, you know, it's really hard to play Majora's Mask on the N64 if you know, your N64 is 20 years old and kicking the bucket. Like, this could be a problem. Like, please give me a 3DS remake. Please put this on consoles. Please do these things. Because,
well, something that I didn't know is that it's like a rule that Sonic can't swim.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did not. It says here that in Frontiers, they're going to be following the rules that Sonic needs to be built around speed, which knew that, duh. But then the second rule is that he can't swim. And even in the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games franchise, Sonic has to use a flotation device in the swimming events. That sounds like cheating. That sounds like to me that Sonic doesn't know how to swim and should not be in a swimming event.
probably should be the case for that. It's like, although it'd be kind of odd to have a game like that where you could choose any character for any event except for the water one with Sonic, which would be like a...
I think that you should hover over Sonic and it'll be like, sorry, he can't swim. Idiot. So he's at the Olympics and he can't swim.
Well, what they should do is just play the drowning music from the original Sonic games. I know people, I have multiple friends that have talked to me, like, that sound playing underwater, like, it made literally some of them, like, borderline aquaphobic. Like, because it is so harrowing to hear that thing in the back, to hear that music cue, and you're, like, about to drown. And, I mean, who the hell wants to go out drowning? It just sounds terrible. Like,
right.
So, yeah, I actually missed that part of that article. I didn't read that part. I just saw the initial title, and I immediately just started laughing. It felt like a hard drive. title, and then there was like no article. I'm like, oh wait, no, there's actually other news in here. But yeah, it is
the title pretty much encompassed most of it.
Yeah. And they even keep that the case in the Sonic movies even. So they a little scene in there eventually that I won't, yeah, get a bit of a spoiler, but it's not the huge one. So yeah, there's a water element in there too, where it's just sort of like, oh okay, but no, I'm still excited for that game. And actually, Origins, I think, comes out next week already.
I will not be getting Origins. I'll be getting Frontier. So
Why not both? Why not both?
Maybe.
Yeah, I get it. No, I'm definitely getting it. Origins comes out like sooner, so I'll definitely be getting that. And again, I love the original four games are, again, to me, some of the most classic pieces of gaming history and perfection, we'll say, that exists out there. So you gotta support it, gotta see what they do with it, see if they do it right. If they do these right, it's like, okay, Sonic Frontiers can be great. If they do it wrong, it's like, oh god, no, don't mess this up, Sega. I don't think you can afford it. But
I picked back up Animal Crossing, so nobody talked to me for the next like month about what video game I'm playing, because that's my notice for the next
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I picked it back up. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about restarting Stardew Valley as well. I don't know.
You're just using that now, the Stardew and Chill list I sent you for.
I think that is what did it. something else, which I, as per usual, my Pokemon segment is making a return, but this won't be very long.
Well, yeah, we just talked Sonic, I think, for the fourth or fifth podcast in a row, so. I'm sorry, everybody, if you're not a Sonic fan. We kept it short this time, but
Sonic and Pokemon is really just our brands at this point, I think.
Pretty sure at this point, yeah.
So Pokemon Go, starting, well, today is Wednesday the 15th, but starting tomorrow, June 16th until July 1st, Mewtwo is returning to raids in Pokemon Go.
He's never been there before.
Right. Right. So yeah, that's the key. He will be returning to raids. Players will be able to catch two versions, and then each know a specific charged attack. So if you catch Mewtwo between June 6th and June 23rd, the Pokemon will know the move Shadow Ball. If caught between June 23rd and July 1st, it will know Psystrike. And yeah, shiny
and if you
version.
Catch either one of them and use a and get the secondary charge move, you can have them both.
There you go. There you go. And we also know that it is a 1 in 20 chance at getting a shiny. So that is literally the only reason I will be doing raids every day in this is because I would like a shiny Mewtwo. Also because I actually haven't... I've played Pokemon Go on and off. This past year has been when I've like really played it. Like I've been really getting into it. So I actually don't have a Mewtwo. I've never caught a Mewtwo.
Really?
Because when it's been in the game before, I wasn't playing. So...
Really?
Yeah. I'm a little excited about it.
I've been playing this game pretty much, yeah, since the beginning, actually. And they've had, I don't know how many Mewtwo events. I'll share a little story. That was actually the first, major, raid where people, met up and, got to do it. And you had to do, a series of things to, even earn it, basically. You had to, it was, a special raid pass you would get. It was, a mythic raid. And, you had to, raid at a bunch of gyms, and there were certain gyms that this, could actually happen at. And then, you would get a ticket for a raid that you knew would happen in the future, about a week or so later. And if you showed up at that spot with a group, you could, do that raid. So I remember, the first one, I was over at a mall. I was at a mall, and I used to frequent often when I would go to play trading cards at an actual place and not just online. I have to get back to that at some point. And I used to go to that mall and do some raids over there, and I actually got one. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I went there that day. They actually had the mall cops around us because there were 40 people there, 40 or 50 people ready to do this Mewtwo raid. It was in a special egg at the top of the gym, and everybody was excited and oh yeah, I can't wait. And we actually had to little divide ourselves into two groups because the raid can only accept things 25 or something like that. So we had to divide to make sure we had enough to be able to do it because we didn't know how strong it would be because most of us never did it before. This was it was an event and it was cool.
I miss when they were events. We've talked about this already, so we don't need to get into it, but I do miss that.
That's again, no one had a Mewtwo yet. It was a whole thing you had to do to be able to do this. And there was an element of luck to getting that. And then here's the thing. There's also a pretty high chance you wouldn't catch it. Only about half of us caught it. I was one of the lucky ones who caught that first one.
Right.
People also did all that. Came on that day, drove out, whatever, and didn't catch it. It was shit. What?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you brought up the trading card game, which is interesting because there actually is also a trading card game crossover event that's going to be happening. So again, starting tomorrow, June 16th until this one's only until June 30th, but still relevant if you were listening to this episode. And there are different collection challenges. The rewards aren't that great. you can get a Venusaur, or not can. You will get a Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise.
Whether you want them or not, they're coming to you.
Right. Yeah, lots of XP, though, to be earned. It looks like, since this is the trading card game crossover event, that there are a lot of Pokemon that we, of course, have seen in the game, but are coming. There's going to be Charmeleon in the wild, which I don't see very frequently. Snorlax, Slaking, Dragonite. I see Bidoof everywhere and Numel everywhere. But yeah, so at least there'll be more than just the Mewtwo raids to do. If you are going to be doing a Mewtwo raid, a suggestion for counters would be Gengar, Weevil, Absol, and Honchkrow. Will be good against the Mewtwo and the raids. So good luck out there, Pokemon goers.
Well, yeah, I just get my Mega Gengar involved, and I grab him. I grab my Yan Megas. He's my biggest bug guy, and
I really wish they would have made a Mega Mewtwo.
There is a Mega Mewtwo. It's not out in the game yet.
That's what I mean, though. It's like, I wish they would put it in the game. I don't know why they haven't, because right now they're like really pushing the Mega Pokemon. They're like,
yeah, I was going to mention that they redid, I believe, the how you do the Mega Energy thing, which I think is good, because who the hell wants to sit there and do these raids where like you can't even use the thing? I mentioned this in a previous podcast as well, but like, right. Yeah, the way it was before, like you had to basically grind these raids where you needed to actually get people to do them to actually beat them with you. But like, again, they were temporary. You had to use Mega Energy to evolve them for the first time. It took 200 to evolve them the first time. And yeah. Then like 40 or whatever per time after you did it once with them. And like, you only got like between 40 and 60 Mega Energy per time you did the raid. And yeah. Again, you couldn't use these in, you can't use these in anything except for like the general tasks. You can, you know, like doing like the rocket battles or doing raids. You can't use them in PvP. You can't have them defend gyms. You can't use them for any of that kind of stuff. So like even in a world where we can remotely do this stuff, like you can sit at home and pop on the internet and do one of these anywhere around the world, it's still, even with that, difficult to find people that want to do those things. So right. Like they're,
yeah, because they made it
change.
Yeah, and I'm glad, I mean, they made it so that you don't need Mega Candy to Mega Evolve a Pokemon.
If you want to do it more often in the
time frame,
you still can need the Mega Energy, but you know, a little bit different.
But if you are somebody who wants to do like simply free to play, then at least there is an option. They need more options, but there is one option.
Yeah, and I get it. I'm sure part of it they don't want it to be too easy too, and then like I know why they're not putting them in the battles either. They don't want people to, because then that's all you'd see. You'd just see everybody like you can only have one Mega at a time, which I think they should keep. Then you would just see like there'd be a Mega in every like raid basically.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So those things come into Pokemon Go. I'm a little bit excited about them. Pokemon Go's let me down a lot lately. I've talked about that in the last podcast.
Did you? I meant to ask you as a follow up. Did you end up playing the event?
I don't know about it.
Oh, it was bad.
It was not good. It was not good. It was not good for anyone.
Did you pay for it?
Yes, I did.
How many shinies did you end up getting?
I don't even want to talk about it. I got Please? 4.
Wow. That's it?
4. I think the most that one of our friends got was maybe 6 or 7.
Oh, wow.
It's the most. And that was a friend that was out literally all day.
Yeah. See, if like I did out. That, and this is, and again, this, I think we talked, again, in previous cast, we talked about that leading into that event. I was like, I just don't see the point, because, like, you're going to, it doesn't seem worth it based on the odds and the chances. Like, to pay $15 in this economy for, like,
in this economy, I should have gotten a free shiny.
I did.
They should have just given me a shiny for paying for it. But they didn't, and
use my gas to drive down to a spot to meet it with other people, and you're gonna give me nothing for it. It's 90 degrees outside. You do it in the middle of summer. And
also they implemented. I don't know if this was implemented before then, but it was really prevalent during the event. That there's a new thing where when you have an incense, you have to click on. You have to tap on a Pokemon within a very within seconds of it showing up, or it will. It will flee. It will run away.
They usually gave it a little bit more. It wasn't seconds. You had a minute or so to click on them. Because you, so like I didn't
they
play
stay
the
on
event.
The map.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Oh. That must be different then.
So I it's like, never mind. I'm not here actually. And I'm like, okay.
Well, see you later. Big gulps, huh? So I didn't actually intend to play it, but I happened to be downtown. I live near downtown Pittsburgh, so I went. I was actually downtown for another thing that was happening outside, and I just happened to be at a park basically and waiting for people to show up for something. So I pulled out the game for about 20 minutes and saw. And I will say there were a lot of raids. There were a lot of remote things you can do, and I do one of the things I do like in the game is the challenges. that they're putting out, like, this hour we need to do, the world needs to do like 14 million raids, and you're like watching this counter go up as people do raids. You're like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool, like, to see that many people playing right now, like, okay. But like, so that, and you said there were, and there was like one or two new ones out there that I was able to nab that I didn't have yet. And people, I actually had a few raid invites from people that were like remoting, having, trying to have me remote in, which was cool. But beyond that, like, yeah, I was the spot I was at in this park, there was like four stops around me. I didn't see anything that was even worth catching, like, in that 20 minutes. And I'm like, and every one of the stops had an instance. I even threw one in there for people who wanted to use it. I didn't see many things spawning. Yeah, I was just not at all. I was not very, and again, I was very, and I didn't pay for it either. So, I mean, I'm glad I didn't. So,
yeah, it was a nightmare.
Sorry, Niantic. Again, we talk about you a lot, so you're getting both good and bad out of this. But man, I hope someone out there from that's listening to our cast, because, like, I think you got, there's things I think that need to be improved upon. And I'm in a bunch of groups too. Like, I'm in a couple groups on like Facebook and whatnot. And overall, the event seemed like it got pretty poor reception from a lot of people. So,
yeah.
Most people had your luck or worse. I read a couple people that, like, I played all day and I got nothing. I got no shinies. Only got two shinies, and they were two I already had. Like, you're just sitting there like, dude, and you paid $15 for that, and you spent
how
much? And you're like, oh, no. No, we're good.
Absolutely not.
So, speaking of trading card game things that have become other things, Master Duel, again, that's the big thing I'm still playing, and Master Duel and StarCraft, as always, you guys know me well at this point. I've gotten back more into StarCraft, actually, but they've had some cool challenges out lately with some of the mutation missions, so I've been doing those. And then Master Duel is about, at the time of this recording, tomorrow starts their next event, which is the limited event. So, you can only use, they keep the same ban list and all that kind of stuff, and then you can only use one of every card. And traditionally, if you don't, for those who don't play the game, you can typically use up to three of a card. So, of any one given card, and then you can create a deck, and you can try to, like, do stuff like searching for certain things and increase the odds of opening certain things in your opening hands and create and do things. But now you'll use one of everything, which I'm really curious to see what kind of decks you'll come up with, what ends up being good. I have one I already made, and I'm kind of curious to see how it does, but yep. So that's the next event on Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel. So thank you, Konami, for keeping the events interesting. I think they've done a decent job so far after, bumbling out the gate initially. They've upped their game a bit. So I'm excited for that.
Sounds better than the game that I play.
Yeah, I get you. So yeah, why don't we get into the meat of our episode today, the 2023 dun dun dun. I feel like we should have some kind of non-meme music cue behind that. 2023 releases that have been announced in video gaming. Which ones that you saw on that list did you find the most interesting?
Okay, so this actually isn't on the list, but it is. It's a different article that I had sent you, but is relevant to 2023 game releases, is Fallout 5 coming after Elder Scrolls 6. But Elder Scrolls 6 is, I think that is due to release in 2023, if I'm not wrong. But yeah, Fallout 5 is apparently going to be coming after that, which I'm very, very excited about. There's really no information about Fallout 5 yet, but I love that franchise. As in regards to the 2023 release schedule that we saw, the one that caught my eye, I talked to you a little bit about before, is Layers of Fears. And the reason why I emphasize that S at the end is because Layers of Fear was released back in, I don't have an exact year, but between 2016 and 2017, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I was actually streaming on Twitch at the time when that was released, because, you know, everybody loves to see someone getting the shit scared out of them. Terrifying. And this is coming from someone who doesn't play a ton of horror games. I don't love being scared. Like, I'm not one of those people who, like, is like, I need adrenaline and I want to be terrified and I love scary movies. Like, I'm not that person, but of course I played it and it was scary. It was a very good game. So then I saw Layers of Fears on here and I was like, what is this? And apparently it is like kind of like a culmination of all of the previous Layers of Fear games, but with like a new storyline. So...
interesting. I saw the cover art looks pretty cool. I don't know anything about these games, so
it's like a storyline, like walkthrough horror game. There isn't really
there's like not... Walking Dead esque like or like Telltale Walking Dead games and all that kind of stuff,
right? Not like Resident Evil style.
Got it. Okay, I'm with you on that. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Lots of jump scares is what it really is.
So, yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's.
I forgot about the Breath of the Wild sequel.
Is that why you took a deep breath?
Yes! I'm looking at the list. Breath of the Wild sequel. Then that is the one that I am going to say I am very excited about. Sorry to cut you off. It was just...
No, it was actually... I don't even think you realized because your excitement. Like, I was literally talking about... Five Nights at Freddy's and jump scares, and literally you did a jump scare on me and yourself right there.
Sorry.
I was like, oh, what happened?
I will be very excited about that one.
Awesome. I was looking at a couple things on here. So obviously the first one that caught my eye was Final Fantasy 16. Mm-hmm. I did not even realize that was set to come out. So I can see how far behind on that kind of stuff I am. So that's one I do really enjoy the Final Fantasy series of games. I am not, though, I've been actively avoiding, even though a lot of my friends and people, my brother and all of them are playing it, Final Fantasy 14. I don't want to get into another World of Warcraft style of game because I know what it'll do to my mental health and time and sleep schedule and all the things that'll be bad for me. So I'm trying to be a little bit more smart about it. But I miss like the Final Fantasy, like the 7s and 8s and 10s and like these like, you know, big games that you can do like in Final Fantasy style. And I was not a big fan of like 13 or, you know, 13 or 15. So 15 didn't even like interest me at all. So the fact that 16 is coming out, I'm very excited to see what they do with that and if it's going to be good or bad. Marvel Spider-Man 2 caught my interest. Payday 3, I'm actually curious to see what they do with. I still remember like the early like Payday game.
I've actually never heard of Payday.
Yeah, it's been so long since I played it. I just remember like I remember my friends and I making fun of it a lot. That's what I remember the most about it. That's what caught my eye. Wolf Among Us 2. The original Wolf Among Us game was very fun. So I'm looking at that. I know a lot of my friends are playing Valheim right now too. So again, that's just getting. I don't know if it's getting updates or all that, or if it's like a new game, or if it's just coming out on like things beyond the PC or what's happening there. So I'm a little curious about what that means. And then, yeah, there's a couple other ones on there that I was like, okay, I'm not sure how I feel about like RoboCop, Rogue City. Like, we're getting RoboCop games in 2023. Like, is that still a thing that's in like the Nexus out there? Like, what's happening there?
I was just gonna say something that I was thinking about is like I didn't see a lot of Switch games on this list. Nintendo Switch games. There's
Dordogne. What do you would I don't know what that means or if I even said that right, but
well, I actually because I just thought about it and then I guess they don't really Nintendo doesn't typically talk about releases until the Nintendo Direct. Someone said, I'm looking online now because I think, wasn't there a Nintendo Direct back in February?
Yeah. Do I remember what was in it? No.
No, I don't either. But apparently it's being rumored. Again, everybody, please recognize that I am saying it is being rumored. This is not confirmed. But a big Nintendo Direct might be coming like soon, like this month is what they're saying.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, somebody in an interview said that it's coming on June 29th. But yeah, it says Nintendo has reportedly been keeping near finished games on call to plug holes in its release calendar. And June 29th Direct could possibly be an opportunity to reveal more of the games. Obviously, people want updates on Breath of the Wild, Metroid Prime 4.
That I'm excited about, too.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see if June 29th does happen. But I think that I am ready for another Nintendo Direct. I would like some new game. I guess Sonic is... I could get the Origins and just... play Sonic.
I'm gonna get you into that. I think you should buy Origins. I think if you haven't been thrust into that world, I think you have highly recommend you buy Origins and enjoy those games. I think again, there's some good games on there.
You know what? Be careful what you wish for. This might become the Sonic podcast, so we'll have to change the name.
Well, here's the thing: Sega is not like. Pokemon where they release a game every like 2 days and there's a lot to talk about.
That is fair.
It's we get like, you know, two releases every 2 years basically, and they're usually in the same year, so it's like, okay, what the hell's out? And then there's like a random racing or whatever game in the middle, or like Smash Brothers or whatever. Hey, Sonic's in here, hey, look, here he is, hey, whatever. Like, so I found interesting about this list. The other thing I found interesting about this list, by the way, is that there were only two games on it that actually had the months listed and the actual dates listed. One was the Dead Space remake, which is set for January 23rd. And the other was Resident Evil 4 remake, set for March 24th. Two remakes. All right. We're in the remake realm. So, two of those games have dates. The rest did not have any, according to GameInformer.com. So, I don't know. Resident Evil 4, I've never played it, but I've watched several Let's Plays of it. Because I've just... I don't know. I'm just not into those kind of FPS games. I just don't find them fun, but I do enjoy people reacting to them. I enjoy people reacting to people getting scared and me being like, that made you scared.
Right.
Nah, just kidding. But I do enjoy watching people react to those games. And Resident Evil 4.
I love watching Let's Plays of horror games.
Oh, yeah. I do as well. No, I definitely enjoy the Let's Play. I watch a lot of Let's Plays. They're great, like they're great mind-numbing fun for me. And I also really like, because there are certain moments in games that I've played so many times, and I also enjoy watching other people enjoy those moments, when they get to certain points in games. So I do enjoy going through like random Let's Plays and being like, oh, I can't wait to see them react to this the first time and see what they do. And that I do enjoy, especially when it's something that like reaches to them like it did to me. I always appreciate that. And then there's those other times where, more often than not, it's like something that they didn't care about at all. Like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Yeah, I did. No. So I'm just going to read off some of the games that are coming out here. Alan Wake 2, which again, I heard the first Alan Wake game was pretty solid. So I'm interested to see what they do with the second one. Aliens Dark Descent, Ark 2. Baldur's Gate 3. My friend Jake's a big Baldur's Gate fan. I had never gotten into that one either.
What console is that next to
Stadia?
Yeah, what is that?
It's PC, but I'm not sure what Stadia is.
I know what PC is, luckily.
I don't think we could have this podcast anymore if we weren't real familiar with PC at this point. But
Google Stadia, mobile game device. Stadia is a cloud gaming service developed and operated by Google. It's accessible through Chromecast, Ultra, and Android TV devices. That's weird.
It's interesting that it's just that and PC. So.
Oh, okay. Well, 2 days ago, there was an article posted, Google Stadia is dead. Long live Google Stadia. So...
But basically, Baldur's Gate 3 only for PC.
Only PC.
Yes. Chance of Semnar, Cocoon, Coffee Talk Episode 2, Hibiscus and Butterfly. That's a game for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch.
I thought that sounds like a podcast. Quite that does honestly.
Sound like a podcast, right? That sounds like, I had to say that all the way through. Disney Dreamlight Valley, Dordogne, or Dordogne, or I don't know how you say that. That's for Switch and PC. I know all you guys are really excited about EA Sports, the PGA Tour, you know.
since we're a sports video game podcast.
Absolutely. And we love EA Sports right now. Earthlock 2, Ayuden Chronicle, 100 Heroes, Eternites. I like the name. I like the title of that one at least. Everspace 2, Exo Primal, again, Final Fantasy 16, Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn, Forza Motorsports. So there's going to be a new Forza game coming out. So those of you who like racing games, that'll be out next year. Gumbrella, Hell Is Us, Hyper Light Breaker, Hytale. Some of these I like the titles of.
Yeah.
Kerbal Space Program 2. You already mentioned Layers of Fears. I like the double plural in that, by the way.
Layers of Fears.
Double plural. Layers of Fears. So there's multiple fears and multiple layers. Okay.
It Leap, is interesting.
Light Year Frontier. Against Marvel Spider-Man 2. Mina the Hollower. Minecraft Legends. So there's a new Minecraft out there. What if we're going to do like the Mega Man Legends thing and do like a... instead of making it like... Obviously, it's already like a 3D walk-around game. It'll make it a 2D Minecraft. Do the inverse Mega Man. My Time at Sandrock, Off the Grid, Payday 3, Pragmata, Prehistoric Kingdom, Redfall, Replace, RoboCop, Rogue City, Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. I don't think that's how you spell Chernobyl. Sure. Chornobyl. I don't think that's how you actually spell Chernobyl, so I feel like that's something different than the place
that is. Yeah, that is not. It's a C-H-E-R. So.
That's what I thought. Kind of.
Game Informer, if you could have your editor check this article for us, please.
Well, I'm just wondering if it's spelled wrong intentionally, because it looks like it's like taking place in, maybe they don't have the rights to say the actual Chernobyl, so they're just like changing.
Oh my god,
a
no, yeah, it is. I think that it is spelled that way.
Interesting.
Game Informer, I take back my previous comment. Why do they spell it like that?
I didn't play Stalker 1, so I don't know. But
Chernobyl.
Yeah. I'm not impressed by the cutscenes in this one, though. I pulled up the article on the website, but yeah, some of it looks better.
Part of Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
That's literally it. Why? Just don't put that. It like if they don't have access to like use that word, then don't put it in the title.
Anyway. They're trying to evoke certain vibes, I'm sure. Another one I'm kind of interested in, because I haven't played any kind of these kind of games in a while, Star Wars Jedi semicolon Survivor. So like I was looking a little bit of that when we looked at the article. It looks like it might be pretty fun. It's continuing one of the side story Star Wars stuff. So I don't really care, because I only care about the main people like Obi-Wan Kenobi in that series, but like I don't know, my plan, who knows. My favorite, best Star Wars game. You will never convince me that there's a better Star Wars game, though, than Rogue Squadron for the N64. I still pull out that game, and I still really enjoy playing it. So, just throw that out there. Starfield, Street Fighter VI.
I actually am excited about Street Fighter VI.
Are you?
Yeah, I didn't realize that was being... I'm excited now, seeing it, because I didn't realize that was going to be a thing. But apparently, it's aiming to be the most approachable version, but still catering to veteran fans. Of course, there are going to be... I guess they're going with a mix of new and old faces for Street Fighter.
Okay.
And in the game... I guess they take visible damage in the game. Like, when you get hit in the face, their face is bleeding. Like, it's, like, real damage. If that makes sense. Like, it's, like, real
damage. No, I know what you're saying.
And my girl Chun-Li is going to be in it.
Is she your favorite?
Yeah, I love Chun-Li. Yes. I have cosplayed as Chun-Li.
I've seen your cosplay, so, but I mean, yeah. Just because someone cosplays as someone doesn't necessarily...
Very true. Yeah, no, yeah. But I do. I love Chun-Li. Yes.
That's awesome. What do you like about it? Is there like something like particular, or like her style or her personality with the movies or the games, or I'm kind of curious.
So I like her moves, her like move sets. And also, even though she was a cop, I don't know. I just like her story. And
I love that she was played that by Ming-Na Wen in the movie. I remember that when the 90s movie came out and they had like this all-star cast of people. And again, that movie was both a train wreck and I love it. But they had some interesting actors play some of those parts. And Ming-Na Wen was actually the Chun-Li in that movie, I believe, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, and she also has Li Fen, who she looks over, which is admirable. So awesome. I do like Chun-Li. And some of the other characters, Luke has been confirmed. Jamie, Ryu.
Oh, I'm sure Ken and Ryu and Guile and all of them are going to be. I would be very sad, and I think they would probably lose their title of Street Fighter VI if some of those characters were not part of it.
Yeah, Guile is in there too.
Yeah, if you can't Hadouken in a Street Fighter game, it's not a Street Fighter game. So, so funny enough, I used to really enjoy like some fighting games, but I never actually got into Street Fighter. I was a Sega Saturn kid, so Virtual Fighter was the one that I knew growing up. And then like, you know, the X-Men, Children of the Atom, like some of those Marvel comic kind of games. Fighting games that I was like into growing up.
I didn't get into Street Fighter until I was like an adult. I played Mortal Kombat when I was younger.
Yes, and even that one, like I was young when I first got that game. And my mom, I remember like my mom came down the stairs or something like that. My brother and I were playing it and then saw the heads come off on like the old like pixel. And I was like, well, we're taking that back.
Fair enough.
So I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're not having that anymore. But no, you know, I think I'd kind of miss a bit of that. But again, enjoy the movies. They made me laugh and I got to enjoy some of the camp in there. But obviously these days I've seen the death scenes and all that and how they do it. I mean, the latest Mortal Kombat has like Rambo and like the Terminator and all that kind of shit in there, RoboCop or whatever. I'm like, I don't know how they did that, but that's kind of awesome. I'm not gonna lie. So a couple other games on here to finish off the list: Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. I wonder what your goal is in that one. Tichia, T-C-H-I-A. I don't know that one. Test Drive Unlimited, Solar Crown, The Invincible, The Last Case of Benedict Fox, obviously Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sequel, which I find it interesting that they call it sequel, not two or something else there, so that's interesting. Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, featuring lollipops. I'm just kidding.
I'm interested to see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, what that's going to be like. I think Friday the 13th game kind of set a precedence for like horror games in a multiplayer like platform.
Yeah.
And like Dead by Daylight. I feel like this Texas Chainsaw Massacre is maybe coming out maybe later than that, because they were really popular. Again, this is like the 2017 when those games first kind of came out and were super popular, and now they're Dead by Daylight still pretty popular, but they're definitely not as big. And so I'm wondering if maybe they missed their time with releasing Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because it looks like it is going to be a multiplayer horror game. Mm-hmm. So I'm just interested to see what they do with it and kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, when I see games like that, at least like when they're announced, I tend to tune out because I feel like they're trading on a name at that point. You know what I mean? It's like,
right. Yeah.
Like, you know, people that write like the horror side of it and they're like, oh, I'll buy that. And it's like, oh, this is terrible. Like,
well, Friday the 13th, that was probably the most fun I've had playing a multiplayer game in a very long time. Oh, really? I loved Friday the 13th because somebody plays as Jason. And then there are, I think it's four, there's more than four people. However many other players are playing as the campers at Crystal Lake. And then the one player has to go and try to kill everybody before they can escape. And then there's different ways for them to escape. So like there's a car, but you have to work together to find the keys and the battery and the gas to get the car working. And it's in different cabins. And Jason has different abilities that he's able to do, and use to kind of help him find people. So I loved the Friday the 13th game, but it looks like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is kind of doing the same thing. Pits four survivors against three bloodthirsty stalkers. So it's going to be four against three instead of just the one. So I'm excited about that, because like I said, Friday the 13th, it's 5v1 is what it was previously. And it was just a lot of fun. So hopefully, maybe this will bring me back to it. Who knows?
Maybe, yeah, it might be. So that's interesting hearing your perspective on that. So, okay, maybe it might be worth a shot then. Last couple on that list was Wolf Among Us 2, which I already mentioned, Time Flies, V Rising, Valheim, and Wolong Fallen Dynasty. So, yeah. Hey, if you guys follow us on social media, interested to see what games you're interested in looking forward to for next year. If there's any that aren't on the list, or if any of those that we don't know anything about, you want to talk about, hit us up. I'd be interested to hear about them. That article also lists some of the ones still coming out for 2022 as well. So those ones actually have months on them. So, you know, so we got lots of stuff coming out there right now. I mean, between like, Octopath Traveler, No More Heroes 3, yet another Mario Rabbids game. There's so much stuff coming out for, and that's just stuff that hasn't been listed. Overwatch 2 set to come out in October. Lord of the Rings game in September. There's a lot coming out that I didn't even realize until I started like really looking up through these articles. I'm like, oh. But obviously, I'm also just like, hey, Sonic Origins comes out next week, and I am a.
Literally, I was just thinking about that, where I was going to be like, I watched one of my really good friends, who I've shouted out on the podcast before, Tyler, play the Overwatch 2 beta. And then I was like, there's so many new characters in this, and like they've changed move sets, they've changed just different things. And I'm like, I don't even have the energy to try to learn something new. I'm going to restart my Animal Crossing Island for the third time. I'm going to restart my Stardew Valley farm for like the eighth time. And I'm going to play Mario Kart until I rip all my hair out. So everyone can just leave me alone.
I get it.
I'm not even excited about Scarlet and Violet, quite honestly, right now. I'm not super pumped about it, but we'll see.
It's the summer doldrums. That's all. That's all it is. No, but so one of the last things I wanted to kind of like get towards the end of this today. So time of this recording, it's the week before. So when this goes up, it'll be later this week. The Too Many Games convention is happening again. Well, time you guys are going to hear this week, later at the end of the week. June 24th through 26th. Time of recording this, it is next weekend. So, got a couple days off work. I'll be heading out to Oaks, PA, to go check out Too Many Games. This is my favorite convention. I always set time aside to go and check it out because it's always a lot of fun. Lots of internet celebrities and people there for that kind of stuff. Tons of games. Big arcade. There's always a big chunk of friends I see literally this time every year that comes out. I'm very excited to see what's happening. So I figured since this is the Gamer Den podcast, I'd give a little bit of a precursor to Too Many Games and give them a little bit of a shout out. So there's lots of guests coming. Richard Horvitz, who is a voice actor for Invader Zim, Psychonauts, Skylanders, Hell of a Boss. Did autographs there. Shiremi Lee, who was voice actor for Fairy Tail and Sword Art Online. Master Daniel Pacina, who was a voice actor for Mortal Kombat as Johnny Cage and others. Keith Silverstein, who voice acted for Genshin Impact, Overwatch, Dr. Wily, and multiple others. There's also lots of YouTube personalities. James Rolfe, the Angry Video Game Nerd, will be there. My buddy, some call me Johnny, will be there. I'll probably be running security for him, as I like to wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'll be hanging out with him. Cat Icarus is coming from across the pond. He'll be there. Komodo Gaming, Beautiful OB, Corey Baumheiser, Pat Contry, CGB, The Games, Jim Davis, Lady Levinas, J-Moji, The Frustrated Gamer, Failboat, Brad Nelson, Adam Nalen, Tico, Brandon Rogers, Scott the Waz, Slimesicle, Spy Cakes and Spawn Wearers, many, many others on this list that I'm looking at that I'm going to start losing my voice if I keep shouting out names. There's also going to be some bands and musicians and such there. Psycho Stick, Rex Viper, Tico, Super Monster Party, and multiple others. The theme for like the shirt stuff this year is Pac-Man. So if you get one of the like the mini boss pass or something like that, you're mini boss and above, you're gonna get shirts for that, and they're gonna be in the theme of Pac-Man, which is pretty cool. And yeah, it's a great con. I've been going to it now since 2012, I believe. And with the only year I missed, obviously, being the year it was canceled. Screw you, COVID.
How dare you miss
I the know, convention? Right? Although I will. So the shirts are like themed. And since I didn't have a con that year, last year when I went, they did create one. It's a black shirt, green. It's Oregon Trail. And it's like Too Many Games has been canceled. Too Many Games 2020 has died. I'm like, I really wish I would have put Of Dysentery, but they probably would have got sued. So I thought, but the meaning is clear, and I'm like, okay, you guys win. So
we really haven't ever talked about our jobs on here, to keep it simple, I have to make flyers for things for my company and come up with an incentive programs for employees. And so I was trying to come up with an incentive program, and luckily I have like full creative control over what these flyers look like. So of course there's going to be video game influence in there because it's me. And one of them, most recently that I made, I called it the, it was a play on words similar to the Oregon Trail. And I also was going to put something about dying of dysentery on there, but I was like, I don't think corporate will like that very much.
They just don't understand. That's all it is.
It's a joke. Dying of dysentery is always funny.
It is. No, it, unless you actually are dying of dysentery, which we apologize, but sorry, your death will be funny. I do love this con. They do have, they have a cosplay contest every year, and there's usually some pretty cool stuff with that. They do like a wrestling thing where like basically people dress up as like gaming characters, and they like literally have wrestling matches. It's pretty crazy. They do gaming tournaments. There's a board game, whole board game section. People come over and play random board games. And the huge vendor floor. Like I literally spend hours all 3 days just going through the vendor floor and checking out all the games, all the merchandise, the artwork. The artwork is literally what decorates my apartment. So someone have to put that. I'll have to put up a picture of like some of the walls of my apartment, so you guys can check it out and see what I got up here. Some of the stuff I've bought over the years, in addition to like, you know, my displays and such. But I always, there's a couple vendors out there I always look forward to as well. There's one who does like, they do like canvas prints of like old video game covers. So I have like one whole wall of just like basically like of those, and I want to expand that and make it a bigger wall. So I'm going to probably buy a couple of those this year again. I have, how many do I have left now? I have 12 on my wall right now. And yeah, so I'll share the picture again on Twitter, and I've shouted them out before, but canvas prints, they have a link on Twitter, and then they have a website too, and they do a bunch of other stuff too other than that they make. But I always go to that vendor. That guy like knows me, I think, now. He looks for it. He's like, what are you gonna buy this year? I'm like, yeah, well, that's what to find out.
That's the best.
Yeah, so there's a couple vendors like that, and then it's also a good chance for me as a person who collects Sega Saturn games to like check out like what I can find there. I can usually find some imports of games that we don't have available here in the States, or that are usually kind of expensive, and or like see some things I've never seen before. I'm like, oh, I didn't know this even existed, or was this still out? But that's also where I've gotten some of my really expensive collection of games that I hang on to or resell or do whatever with. But I have a couple that I've kept around, kept hidden in a faraway location, so no one knows where they're at, but love them. So I found some cool stuff with that, and yeah, like it's a great con. It's always a good vibe. Lots of cool people. I will mention, though, anyone who's going, if you guys want to come hit me up on Twitter, if you want to like meet up, say you're a fan of our podcast or have any ideas for things you want us to do, I'll be out there running around all 3 days. So definitely let me know. Hit me up. You know, we always appreciate that kind of stuff. And anyone who's going to stuff like this, and hey, it's been kind of hitting close to home lately, too. COVID's still out there. So if you guys haven't had your vaccines in a bit or haven't got your booster shots yet or have been laxing on masks in those big places like that, I will be masked up at the con all 3 days. You know, that's just to be safe. Definitely have had some family and friends got hit with COVID lately, and a lot of them have had some really rough times. So
no coughing on the opaque senator.
Please Thank don't. You. I don't want to catch it. I've been very fortunate so far, knocking on wood right now, or I haven't caught it yet. And I'm hoping I don't catch it before I get to go to the con. I'll be so pissed.
Oh, no. You know what? No, it's not going to happen. We're not manifesting that.
Nope. I knocked on wood. It's not going to happen. So that's how it works. So. But yeah, hey, guys, just be careful out there. There's still lots of craziness going on with that. And we're all getting out back to concerts and doing things. And I'm so excited to see that and so happy for it. But just be careful. You know, take some precautions. And when you're in really busy places, especially when you're indoors and don't want to see anybody get sick out there. So do your best to keep that from happening.
Stay safe.
Stay safe, folks. Stay safe. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed our time together. This was the Gamer Den, part of the Great Geek Refuge. I am the opaque Senator Russ. And when life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade. Make life take those lemons back.
And I'm Jess. Our princess is in our next podcast. We'll see you then.